May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there's a long-standing joke among clergy that Trinity Sunday is the time to prove that everyone is a heretic. To have a Sunday that's dedicated to the core Christian doctrine of who God is, totally one in being, yet three in person, is enough to give a lot of preachers fits, if not outright nightmares. But we must remember that the Trinity is not some conceptual square peg that we're trying to stick into the round hole of biblical teaching. Quite the opposite. The Trinity is what makes the most sense of the biblical data as a whole. When we look at the canon of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, what we discover is one God revealed distinctly as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Trinity shouldn't be addressed like solving a math problem. It's silly to embrace the criticisms that some who poke fun of the Trinity by saying 1 plus 1 equals 1. It's equally silly to retort back to them, well, 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Because the Trinity is not about numbers. It's about who God is and how each person of the Godhead interacts with the others. The Trinity is more a statement about God's relational nature than about some arcane philosophical concept. Using the term Trinity is simply a shorthand way of describing a mystery that we can barely fathom. But we are nevertheless compelled to accept that it must be true, or else we end up with all sorts of other problems. So it's pretty wonderful if we remember from last week that we are children of God by grace through faith, because then that changes how we relate to our triune God. No longer are we merely trying to make sense of some ineffable mystery. We aren't just attempting to think deep thoughts about God. We're connecting personally, interactively, with the Creator, Redeemer, and Perfecter of all things. As a son or daughter of God, we have the unique privilege of experiencing and showing love to our triune Lord. In fact, our passage from Romans today drives home that we can have peace, real peace, with God. Now, some of you may have seen those old Billy Graham tracts, those gospel tracts, Steps to Peace with God. And that can be a little handy introduction for some people who are looking to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But I think we have a tendency to import our Western ideas into that word, peace. Ideas that, frankly, St. Paul has absolutely nowhere near his brain as he's writing to the church in Rome. We tend to think of inner peace or serenity. We may even imagine some quasi-mystical yoga room, sitting in lotus position. Or, if you're like me, you might have thoughts of Ben and Jerry's dancing through your head. But when Paul is talking about peace with God, he has a very different picture in mind. He imagines us as rebels, fighting against heaven, in cahoots with the devil. And not as freedom fighters looking to put off tyranny, but the bad guys, terrorists, who have capitulated to the path of least resistance that the devil has laid out for humanity. And those who have reinterpreted Christ's admonition, they take instead of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, instead they turn it into do unto others before they do it to you. And not a single one of us is spared that negative evaluation. That's the argument that the Apostle Paul makes from the very beginning of the book of Romans. We are all sinners and stand in need of rescue from sin and death. That can be a pretty hard pill to swallow for some. Bishop Dorsey McConnell of Pittsburgh, where I just came from, once shared about a run-in he had with a parishioner who felt when he was serving as a rector that he should avoid all talk of sin whatsoever from the pulpit. This parishioner felt that she was good people. She felt that she was exempt. But no amount of good works will ever outweigh the evils that we let run amok in our hearts and minds. No amount of keeping up appearances will ever fool God into thinking that somehow we're okay. Only the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ makes it possible for anyone to stand before God with a clean slate. And that starting level of forgiveness is a pure gift. Jesus has already made it possible. It's simply ours for the taking, if that's what you want. And that's where we pick up with St. Paul this morning, with those who have taken the free gift. You know, like we've been talking about, children of God. We no longer have to be at war with God. We no longer have to worry about our sufferings, that they will last forever. In college, I sang in the gospel choir, and we sang this one song, "I'm so glad trouble don't last always." So no matter how difficult your life may be, the loss of a loved one, the physical ailments that seem to compound with age, the loss of good friends and family as they move or die or simply get really busy with life, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there with you each step of the way. You see, we are justified by faith. That means if we simply trust what the Bible says about Jesus is true, you know, the stuff that we confess in the creed, then God takes our future perfect reality and applies it to our imperfect now. From God's perspective, everything is set right because of Jesus. Christ is our access point to this amazing grace. And I can testify of no other way to be reconnected to God and to have Him set everything straight except through our Savior who came. The Savior who died. The Savior who rose to set us free from sin and death. And because Jesus has so graciously shared all that belongs with Him, to Him with us, we can boast, as Paul says, in sharing the glory that belongs to Him. That also has implications for the fallen world in which we now live. We can even boast in our sufferings. We don't have to let the doldrums of this world keep us down. we can see our struggles for what they are, what they truly are: passing, temporary, impermanent. And with this kind of positivity that comes from deeply trusting in Jesus Christ, God can transform our trials into means of grace whereby we grow in our commitment and love for our triune God. Suffering will lead to endurance, to character, to hope. Do you see that upward trajectory that Paul was writing about? You get more accustomed to suffering, then you allow that suffering to make you into a more godly person. And then finally, you are encouraged because you see the Holy Spirit working out God's will even in the midst of your troubles. Oh, but Father Lenny, how can I be so positive when things seem to be going downhill? Well, the key is love. Paul writes, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We aren't in this thing alone. God Himself, through the indwelling Spirit, is right there with you. And the Father's love is overflowing for you. He cares for you. He wants to connect with you. He wants you to experience and enjoy His glorious goodness to the full. Don't let the temporary pains of this sin-soaked world distract you from the reality of everlasting life, abundant life. Let them instead become ways to prepare your heart more fully to appreciate what our triune God has in store for you. See, the Trinity doesn't have to be some inscrutable mental exercise. It can be a fulfilling description of our Lord that helps you appreciate the grandeur of a God who loves you. If you allow the Father's love, Jesus' completed work, and the Spirit's constant activity have complete reign in your life, you'll discover you no longer have to fight God anymore. In fact, you don't even have to let the woes of this world get you down. Our triune God has extended grace enough to transform our troubles into tools by which we can grow into the people that He has recreated us to be, true children of our triune God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You govern all things, both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of Your people, and in our time, grant us Your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.